Insurgent Radio Network calling. Insurgent Radio Network calling. This is Insurgent Radio, and we're ready for another big show. And here comes Gorilla Radio Man. How about that? Back to the microphone. Go. Go.
Ghost Wolf Radio calling. Aryan Gorilla Radio calling. White Pariah, White Proletariat Radio calling. White Working Class Radio calling. Ghost Wolf Radio calling. I get to be with you guys for one more time this week. I didn't anticipate being on again so soon, but things change. I have a very unpredictable schedule. I told Mr. Metzger before I started doing this that I never know when my last show is going to be, you know. And I am a voice of Ghost Wolf Radio. Not the voice, not the best voice, not the worst voice. Because I don't know what I got to do to encourage more of you to come on the show. I mean, I really appreciate the contributions of Lone Wolf Computer Man, Lone Wolf Wall Street, Lone Wolf Southern California. You know, you don't have to be an articulate. Look at me. I mean, how much do I stumble over my words and my sentences? I'm not an articulate speaker. I'm not some poetic-sounding guy. I mean, you just gotta have an idea. And if you're afraid of your voice being recognized, or you're afraid of Zog knowing who you are, there's no reason why you can't go to a public library or a public place somewhere, shoot Tom Metzger an email using a pseudonym Hotmail address or an email address, and say, "Hey Tom, please read this on the air." And I know you guys are contributing some good stuff. I read something yesterday that Tom let me have, and it was about the civilian self-defense forces and how that technique was used to counter guerrilla warfare in El Salvador. And the guy who sent that, I'm going to say his name, that's good stuff, brother. Keep on sending stuff like that. And remember, Tom Metzger's wearing a lot of hats in his studio. He doesn't have a staff to help him out. So if you send him some things for him to read on the radio and you don't hear back from him, realize that he's trying to respond to hundreds of emails. He's trying to do two shows a day. He's got Race and Reason going on. So be patient with the guy. You may have to save the draft on what you send him and send it again maybe a week later, you know. But so keep that good stuff going. I know you guys, I know there's guys out there that got good ideas. I know there's guys listening to me right now who know more about what I'm talking about than I do. And we need your input. I'm not the end-all, be-all of insurgency or whatever. I need your help, guys. You need to come on the show. You need to write in. You know, I'm sure there's a lot of prior ex-military out there. You know, you guys got good knowledge on stuff. Share it. You know, don't be lazy. You know, we need your help, all right? We also need your help financially. All right. Yesterday, I got something in the mail here, and as you know, I'm not afraid to tell you, I live in Berwyn, Illinois, which is an immediate western suburb of Chicago, right outside of the spick shithole Cicero, Illinois. And I've seen this thing in my mail a couple of times, and I know you guys around America, I know all the towns, all the Chamber of Commerce of various towns sends these things out. And it's called the, well, in my town, it's called the Berwyn Development Corporation. And in big, bold letters, it says, Business and Community News. And it's like a pamphlet. It's like a booklet. And it tells you, you know, what the upcoming events are, what the community calendar is. You need to look at stuff like that. So it could be like pro-multicultural events coming on that you need to know about, because you need to sabotage those things, you know? It's got a number of things. It advertises mainly businesses, you know, and you can get an advertisement here for a bank, you know, that says that, hey, we accept the matricula card, you know, which is gives the Mexicans the right to conduct banking business, even though they have no business being here. That lets you know what banks out there are doing things that are detrimental to the race. It also advertises new apartment complexes and developments that went up. But it's something in the very back page caught me on this thing. And it says, welcome new members, October and December of 08. So I guess this is like the end of year bulletin they sent out. And there's a number of businesses on here, you know, number of them. One in particular I see right here says the Hispanic Beverage Importers. Gives the address, 4012 West Ogden Avenue, Chicago, Illinois. Has the email address, has the telephone, zip code. The CEO is named Heather Weinthaler. W-E-I-N-T-H-A-L-E-R, Weinthaler. I've never met this woman. I don't know what she looks like. But she's the CEO for the Hispanic Beverage Importers. I guarantee you that she's a Jew. You know? You guys see these commercials on TV? The most interesting man in the world, Dos Equis. Stay thirsty, my friends. You know, it has the blue-eyed mestizo fellow or Hispanic guy or Latino, whatever. He's the most interesting man in the world or whatever. And at the end of the commercial, it says Cervezas Mexicanas, White Plains, New York. You know, Mexican beer, White Plains, New York. Now, you know, comrades in New York, especially in the White Plains area, Google that. Find out what's going on there. Because I'm seeing this growing industry in the United States of Mexican beer. And if Mexican beer is going to get even more and more popular, more and more competitive with German brewed beers or American brewed beers, that is going to be inroads. Their culture is going to make even more inroads into even more communities. Okay? The community I live in, you know, most of the town I live in, all of Cicero, and right next door to the east side of Cicero, Chicago, is all Mexican. It's Mexican for, if I get on 26th Street East or 26th Street and just travel east, I can travel for miles and miles and I would be in Mexico. And that is no different than what's going on in the rest of the country. So, I don't know. I mean, I watch the news every day. I don't see anything going on, and maybe that's good. Maybe that's the essence of the ghost wolf. We're nameless and faceless, and we live in the shadows, and stuff could be going on right under my nose. I don't even know about it. Then maybe I should just stop bitching and just have faith in my comrades that they're doing some things. Okay? There's a lot of things I want to cover here, and I want to make sure I get to all of them. First of all, I want to take a minute to talk to the enemies of our race that are listening in, the various law enforcement agencies, ZOG, ADL, SPLC, and all those shit organizations, and even the Mossad. We know you're in this country. We know you're monitoring us. Maybe getting to know our habits just in case things really get hectic in this country and maybe we may pose a threat to Jewish power. You know, you may want to assassinate us. Who knows? But you know what? I don't see myself as a bad guy. I'm talking to our enemies now. I'm really not a bad guy. I'm not trying to be a bad guy. I don't want to be a bad guy. I'm not coming on these shows and telling people what to do. All I'm saying is this. All I'm saying is I would love to wake up one day and turn on CNN and hear about, you know, this update, this newsflash update about homes that have been foreclosed upon all over the country just going up in flames. You know, I'm not saying I'm going to do it. I'm definitely not going to do it. And I'm not telling my comrades to go out and do it. All I'm saying is I would like to see that. Because these institutions are hurting us. Isn't self-preservation the highest law? You know, the Jews are fanatical about doing what's best for their race, so why can't we? Obviously, because we don't have any power. We have disruptive power, but it don't seem to be it doesn't seem to be exercised that much. I would love to wake up one day, and like I said, I'm not trying to be a bad guy or a criminal or a bloodthirsty barbarian. Do you get to know me? I'm a nice guy. I'm a good guy. I'm a caring guy. But I would just like to wake up one day, turn on CNN, and hear about... Now, this is what I would just like to see. I'm not telling anyone to go out and do it, and I'm not going to do it. I would just love to hear about random killings of blacks with maybe placards or signs left behind saying, this is for what happened in Knoxville on January 6, 2006. This is for what happened in Wichita December 14th of 2000, you know, when those five clean living white kids were murdered by two shitskins who had criminal records as long as my arm, who should have been euthanized probably when they reached 10 years old. So I'm not trying to be a bad guy. I don't want to be a criminal. I don't desire to be a criminal. I don't plan on being a criminal. You know, but there's so many enemy institutions out there that I would love to wake up one day, turn on CNN, and just hear about them being assaulted in one way or another. Churches, mosques, unemployment offices. I was in one the other day, filled with mud. DMV offices, filled with mud, you know? I'm definitely not going to go out and do that. And I'm not saying you guys should go out there and do it. I'm just saying what I would like to see happen. Realty companies, you know, showing homes to black couples in areas that are still predominantly white. That's an enemy institution. Mortgage company with their predatory lending, right? Enemy institution. Okay. You know, I noticed in my area, and I'm sure it's going to be true in your area, I noticed that when I'm like in the northern suburbs of Chicago or the western suburbs, I noticed that when I see a foreign food pantry type store, you know, like it's a small store, and it caters basically to a specific ethnicity. You know, I'm thinking of one in particular. It's called Packy Pantry or something like that. I forgot what it's exactly called. But they're all over the place. And they cater to a specific ethnicity. Pakistanis, Hindus, other freaking muds from India, Chinese stores. There's this huge supermarket in the northern suburbs, I believe it's Arlington Heights, huge, only caters to Chinese. I mean, thousands and thousands of square feet to this fucking store, and it's all Chinese food for Chinese people. And sure enough, that if you have a store, an ethnic store that sells food for certain ethnicities, in close proximity to those stores, you're going to find apartment complexes. And, when the shit hits the fan and we're truly out front without hiding it at all or being dispossessed of North America, you know, these may be nice hunting grounds for you to do whatever you feel like you need to do. I'm not saying anything in specifically, but for whatever you need to do, patrol parking lots of apartment complexes. You're not going to park in the actual parking lot that you're patrolling. You're going to park no more than a mile away, but no less than 500 feet to 1,000 feet away. You gotta know your terrain. You gotta look at satellite photos of a specific area. You know, you can plot out the route you're gonna take to your objective without ever even having visiting that town or that neighborhood. Okay? When you're patrolling a apartment complex, a couple things you wanna look for. If you see an SUV, or if you see a number of SUVs with big 28-inch, 30-inch chrome rims, and you see this on a few vehicles, chances are there's a lot of muds there. If the fences are torn down, if there are holes cut in them, if they're just really unkempt, so to speak, there are muds there. Look at the bumper stickers of the cars. You know, in Chicago here we have number of Spanish radio stations, 107.5. So when I see that on a bumper sticker, I'm like, there must be a lot of Spanish people here. But you can't go by that. I suggest when you're patrolling through the area, walk through the parking lot. You're not looking over your shoulder, right to left, furtively. You're walking through with casual confidence. And you may even have a piece of paper with the rental office phone number on it. So if you're stopped for whatever reason, I'm just looking for the rental office. But you go in a couple vast, you go into a vestibule. Go into all the vestibules of the apartment buildings. And look at the names on the mailboxes. You know, you see Muhammad, Akbar, Abu, Babu, you know. That's mud. That's not European. You see a name like James Hostetler or Frank Blackburn. I always like that name, Blackburn. That is a cool last name. You know, chances are that's going to be white. You see Washington and Jefferson. The sad fact that we don't own most of those names anymore. There's more blacks with Jackson and Jefferson and Washington than are white. That's a damn shame. Believe that? We're losing our names. You know? So look at the names in the mailboxes. Look at the cars. What type of cars? You know, you know what the Mexican cars look like. They got, you know, the old English. That's interesting. They're Mexican and they speak fucked up version of Spanish, but yet they like old English lettering. That never made any sense to me. It's like, I don't know, what are they trying to claim it as their own? I don't know what's going on with that, but they'll have something on the back of their car that says El Plaga, you know, the plague, or El Duro, the hard one, something like that. So look for stuff like that. Okay. I saw an advertising for a pair of boots on TV the other day, and they're made by North Face. North Face makes a lot of winter gear, somewhat pricey, but there was a pair of boots that they advertised called slot boots, S-L-O-T, slot boots. And I guess when you wear them outside, the molecules in the grip, in the tread of the boot, something happens that either they, because they're exposed to the cold, they form a certain way, or something happens to them where they can grip the ice better. So I guess they have ice grip soles and they're called slot boots. So I think I heard that right. So, you know, check it out. That may be something that may be a decent part of our arsenal if we need to go negotiate some things in the wintertime and when we're beating feet out of there, when we're escaping, evading, we're going to be slipping and sliding all over the place. Okay? You know, I was thinking the other day that each one of us has two animals that live inside of us. One's a sheep and one's a wolf. And for, the last 60 years of Jewish television, since the progressive movement took over the public education in this country, you know, John Dewey and his bullshit back from the 20s, you know, I mean, everything is, it's like it's meant to pacify us. I wouldn't be surprised if we found out that the Zog and whatever institution is somehow putting chemicals in the food or aerosol being sprayed out of a plane that makes white people passive. It pisses me off. I don't understand why we've become so passive. I used to be passive. And we have these two animals that live inside each one of us. And for years, I fed the sheep. I was tolerant. I was a good person. You know, it's only within the last 8 to 9 years that I've been starving the sheep and feeding the wolf. And I beg all of you out there who are comrades who believe in the belief system of the survival of the white race that you do the same. That doesn't give you a green light to abuse your wife and kids. Love your family. Raise your kids with love, with confidence. But, you know, have them do the same thing. You know, help them, grow up hard in a... I don't want that to come across sadomasochistic or whatever, but we need to toughen up our kids at an early age. That didn't happen to me. And I really wish certain things would have happened in my childhood where my older brothers would have forced me to face my problems head on instead of crying to them to solve it for me when I was a little kid. So, starve the sheep, feed the wolf. I want to clarify signaling an associate. I don't know if I really covered it well. Like I said before, I'm my own worst critic on these shows. I don't want to be misunderstood. Okay. You have an associate who you think may have been compromised. You never take any chances. They may have been compromised by Zog, and you have arranged with that associate that you're going to meet him on a certain corner outside of a restaurant, and you think that that person who's waiting for you is under surveillance, waiting because they're really waiting for you. They're using him to get to you. You're not going to just walk up to the corner. You're going to observe that corner from a block or two away, maybe from on top of a building or a window of an apartment complex, and with binoculars, or monocular, or one bino piece. And, look for the signals. And, like I said, there's got to be subtle signals, not rubbing your arm twice on your right side and once on your left. You're not going to take your hat off and run your hair through. That's an obvious signal. Have the signals be in conjunction with typical human behavior. You can have your accomplice who's waiting for you, and he knows that the Zog's watching. He could you can have something arranged with him that he's going to act frustrated, or he's like in a hurry. He's like, man, where is this guy? I wish he'd show. You know what type of body language I'm talking about. Okay, so I just want to touch on that real quick. All right, the floating box technique of vehicular surveillance when you're being followed. Like I said a number of shows ago, they don't just ride behind you, Chances are they know your destination anyways, where you're driving to. So they're going to be part of your environment. They're going to be next to you, to the left or right maybe. They're going to be possibly in front of you getting off at an exit ramp, and at the next entrance ramp, another one of their fellow agents or whatever of Zog is coming on the ramp to take over. Constantly switching cars around you so you never get used to seeing the same face in back of you. And they're not going to be right in back of you. They're going to be a number of car lengths in back of you. So, I was riding through the western suburbs the other day, and I came across, I made a couple of turns. I noticed that there was a guy behind me in an SUV, paid particular attention to his plate, and practice looking at license plates in your rear view mirror. The numbers are going to be backwards, so practice reading those numbers backwards so you know what the plate number is in your head. Like, get used to looking at numbers backwards, but know what they are in your head, And if you can, because you're not an open racist, you're hiding that stuff, not because you're a coward, but because you're behind enemy lines. It'd be great if you could make friends with someone in the DMV. Hey, buddy, look up this license plate for me. But anyways, I had this guy behind me in an SUV, kind of an athletic-looking white guy. So I didn't want to take any chances. Not that I'm doing anything illegal, and I sure don't carry anything illegal in my car, but, I'm just a paranoid person, professional paranoid. So I turned off of the main artery, which had three lanes going east and three lanes going west. So it's kind of a highway. Turned off of the main artery and went down some side streets where there's only one lane of traffic in each direction. I was thinking that'd be a very difficult place to do a floating box technique. They would have to outright just follow you, right behind you in order to find out what you're doing. If you'd be talking to someone on the phone, say, "Yeah, I'll meet you at the school at 3:00, and like 2:30, you leave your house." And the quickest way to get to that school is to stay in that main artery. Take some side streets, make some turns, see who makes the same turn you do. Do it randomly, do it unexpectedly. So I did that the other day, and I did that after I noticed that this guy made a couple of turns that I did. Sure enough, I made a right turn on this one street, and he kept going straight. So I pulled in a driveway, turned around, and then went back on the street and proceeded on my way. So you know what? They say in overseas, where American diplomats could be a target of terrorism. Their drivers are trained to look in the rearview mirror just as much as they look at the road ahead of them. Always looking at your mirrors. Paying attention to what's, you know, out there. I talked about what's in your black bag the other day, but I forgot to specify something. You know, don't forget, we are modern-day hunters and gatherers. We need to get used to walking some miles every day because we could face a future without automobiles, okay? So get a good hearty knapsack, book bag, backpack, something. And I said, in your black bag that you would take on your ghost wolf ops, you have a number of things. You have your glass cutter, and around the handle of your glass cutter, you have maybe 4 feet of duct tape wrapped around it, you know, with like a quick release tab at the end of the strand. You know, you don't want to carry a big wad of, big roll of duct tape with it. It's bulky. Try to make your bags light, okay? You know, you have your 11-inch pair of bolt cutters. You have a pry bar. But what I didn't mention, and you have a couple of flashlights, one for a backup, make sure they got fresh batteries, and you test them before you embark on your activity. You want to make sure that each one of these items is wrapped up in some kind of cloth, a dark rag, or, you know, some kind of dark towel. You don't want to wrap them up in a white towel in case you have to take them out of your bag, and then, you know, you're in a cover concealed position, all of a sudden you pull this white towel out of your bag, and, you know, always stay tactical. Stay away from bright colors when it comes to your extra-racial curricular activities, okay? But each item, each metallic item needs to be wrapped up in some kind of cloth, okay? And when you get out of your car and you're walking towards your objective, you know, when you get into an area where you can't be observed by apartments, windows, house windows, whatever, jump up and down. You know, what's making noise on you? You want to make sure you're not wearing jewelry, you don't have loose change in your pocket, you don't have your wallet in your pocket, you have your car key on a quick release thing from the rest of your keys. You know, leave your apartment keys or your condo keys and your storage, your covert storage locker keys in your car. The only key you should have on you is your car key. Okay, so jump up and down. What's making noise? Is there any metal-on-metal contact? If it is, wrap it up tighter. And that's why I want each item wrapped up in some kind of dark-colored cloth. Okay? If you can find some dark-colored bath towels, that works the best because they're nice and, you know, they're nice and cushiony. Okay? So you don't want to make any noise in case you have to DD Mao, you know, out of a certain area. And before I leave my car, I make sure that I put on a pair of cotton, pair of gloves, and I make sure that each item in my bag is thoroughly wiped of fingerprints. Okay? And I make sure that when I put my batteries in my flashlights, I put them in with gloves on. I make sure I leave no prints on the batteries of a flashlight. What if I lose that flashlight because I'm escaping, evading? You never know what can go wrong. So leave no prints on anything that you may lose, okay? And you certainly don't have any barcodes on any of that stuff. So wrap it up. I was thinking the other day that maybe every time a black candidate runs for public office, that we should vote for them. Let's try to get as many black candidates in local office and national offices, whatever. I mean, just let's vote for all the blacks that run for an office. This would add to the chaos factor. It would make their inborn incompetency even just more prevalent, you know. In Cook County, we got this guy named Todd Stroger, who's the county board president. And we are the highest tax county in the country. He is just fucking shit up left and right. And he got his job through nepotism because his father was the board president and he passed away and he just jumped in the spot. If I'm not mistaken, he wasn't even elected to it. Maybe he was, but you know, Cook County's filled with niggers, so obviously they're going to vote for a nigger regardless of how incompetent he is. You know, they got to back the brother, you know. So let's vote for each black candidate that runs for anything. Local dog catcher. Let's get these blacks. Come on. You know, too many people are upset about Obama being the president. Man, I could care less. You know, he gave a speech today, and it was the same shit he said during his presidential bid. But he put it all in one big speech, and I listened to the entire speech. I'm like, he said absolutely nothing different that he hasn't said during the campaign or anything. But American people, we are just so. As far as I'm serious, and I know this, you ain't gonna like this, but out of all the Western peoples, I truly believe Americans are the most stupid. We're the most uninformed. We believe all the shit that comes out of Dan Rather's mouth or Mike Wallace or Brian Williams or some other talking head on TV. Most of us don't form our own opinions. I don't know if that's true in other countries. I assume Europeans are more informed than we are, but let's get these black candidates in office. This isn't our country anymore. Let's expedite the chaos factor here. Okay. Want to talk about friction tape. I put friction tape on all my fixed blades, all my knives that have a fixed blade, not a lockback, but a fixed blade, you know. And I make sure that every fixed blade that I own is a full tang blade. That means the metal that makes up the blade is also the same piece of metal that makes up the handle, but the handle's maybe got some wood riveted onto it, or maybe it's wrapped with rope or something. But full tang. Your knife is one piece of metal. Handle and blade are part of the same metal. That's what full tang means. But I found that friction tape, you can get at Ace Hardware, and make sure you call it friction tape, because people, when it comes into packaging, it looks just like electrical tape. Electrical tape is smooth and slippery, and if you're in some knife combatives or whatever, and you wrap the handle with electrical tape, you know, if you start getting your palms are sweaty, maybe there's blood in your hands, you know, because you're in a fight for your life here because you were attacked, you know, that knife could slip out of your hands. But friction tape, it's very sticky, and it doesn't stick to a surface you wrap it on, it sticks to itself. So you just wrap it around on top of itself, around the handle of your blade. Now, it's going to be very sticky at first, but it'll lose a lot of its stickiness, you know, the more you handle it. And when it's lost all its stickiness, it feels like cloth, but it's still slip resistant. So put friction tape on your blunt objects, like if you're going to, you know, if you have a club, you have a sawed-off baseball bat, put friction tape on the handle. If you have a Screamer Sticks or Arnie Sticks from the Filipino martial arts, I know you guys don't like me talking about that stuff, but, you know, Arnie, Screamer, Kali, these Filipino martial arts, great stick fighting systems and knife fighting. So, you know, if I can learn some shit from them, so can you. And by no means am I a Filipino lover. Okay. Friction tape on your handles. Okay. Bear in mind, Ghost Wolves, that ghost is also a derogatory term for whites. I mean, I've been called cracker many times. I've been called honky a few times. White bread a couple of times. I've been called Ritz. Grits, you know. Ritz as in cracker. Grits because they're white. But I have been called ghost one or two times. So be proud of the title Ghost Wolf. I wish I had it, but that's for you guys. You know, I was thinking, I was down in the basement working the other day, you know, and I'm thinking, if I'm a homeowner and I'm operating a safe house, now what I'm about to say is going to take, this is going to be a long project that will take a long time to do. But as the struggle goes on and we get more and more, I don't know, more and more revolutionary in this country, I hope white people do. The white people that are not overt racist, there's nothing that can tie them to racism, you know. They're not actually ghost wolves, they're not going out and doing anything. We're going to have guys that have absolutely no affiliation with racism, but they're going to be in a support role. You know, they have a house, they have a nice big basement, they can hide people. They're not going to go to any meetings. They're not going to order any books from any racist bookstores. They're not going to go on the internet for any websites that deal with racism. We got to find a way to seek out comrades, to test them, to make sure that they're loyal, and to communicate with them non-electronically. You know, I guess we'll cross that bridge when we get to it. But I was downstairs the other day doing some work in the basement, and I'm thinking, you know, if I was to dig a tunnel outside of my base, first of all, I'd have to break through the foundation wall. That may make some noise, but who says I have to? This is not a project I want to get done in a week. This is a project that's going to take years. So I'm looking at my own house. I would tunnel out the back wall and go under my backyard, go under the alley and back of my house, and then maybe go a couple yards down, and maybe if I had to escape it, I would come up in the middle of a yard across my alley, 3 yards down. My phone and my electricity are all aerial to the back of my house. The only utility come out the front of the house is gas. So the ground is pretty much free of any utilities. And if you hit a utility and you're tunneling, the gig's up. You've been discovered. So that's why you want to do some tunneling. You want to hand dig your tunnels. You know, if you do run into a utility, mark it and go under it. Do not disrupt that utility. It could be something that goes to an electrical transformer that feeds maybe the whole block. You don't want to deal with that, okay? But tunneling is something that would be out of a safe house, the house that is, you know, that's owned by a person who doesn't have a big extended family that's not going to discover this. You know, we'll narrow down the parameters of who can meet this kind of person as time goes on, but it's definitely got to be someone who has absolutely no knowledge or affiliation with the racial movement, ostensibly, but secretly he does, okay? So, as you tunnel along, you want to make sure that the tunnel has like a triangular shape. You want to build, you want to reinforce the walls and the roof with wood, with braces. And you don't want a big tunnel, maybe no more than 2.5 feet high, okay? You want to make sure that you can drain water, because if groundwater, you know, if you deal with that, then you got to be able to find a way to pump it out. But I would think about finding some way to tunnel out of a safe house, and it don't have it go towards the street. Go towards someplace else. So, you know, something we may need to think about in the future. Maybe when I learn more about that, maybe I can share some things. Okay, remember Escape from Alcatraz with Clint Eastwood? He portrayed Frank Morris. He tunneled out of his cell a little bit at a night, you know, a little bit every night. And when he would go out to the yard, all the gravel and the rock that he would prick away from the wall, he would have in his pocket. He would just distribute it out on the yard. And he made a paper mache covering of the hole. You know, we can do that too. And even in front of that, we can put like a workbench, you know, and have it stated, you know, throughout your family, hey, don't mess with my work area. I got everything where I like it. I went down there the other day. I had a hammer missing. I don't like that. You know, stay out of my work area. So all I, you know, don't mess with my work area, you know. So, you know, I was thinking the other day, we have, I'm thinking about the animosity that Croatian people have for Serbs and what Serbs have for Croatian people, and they're both white, and this hatred, and they, you know, they're just all the killing that each ethnicity has done to each other over hundreds of years, and they have they follow a different branch of Christianity. You know, I wish that in our pan-Aryan efforts to find some way to have a worldwide pan-Aryan movement, we need to realize that there was a time when there wasn't a Germany. There was a time when there were white people on this planet that were not called Germans and Brits and French and, you know, Irish and Polish. They were just white. And who knows what they called themselves then? They didn't have any written language then. This is going way back when they were just maybe first came into Europe, or maybe when they first evolved into Europe. You know, we need to not let these titles separate us. Still too much animosity between the Germans and the Poles, the Polish and the Russians, the Serbs and the Croats. You know, we can't have this. Those days are over. 8.5% of the world's population is steadily falling, and there's no place in the world where any of us can go and be totally with our own kind. Nowhere. There's a place in this world I can go at hundreds of miles in any direction, I would find nothing but Asians. There's a place in this world I can go and hundreds of miles in any direction, I would find nothing but Africans. There's a place in this world I can go and I would find in any direction, north, south, east, or west, I would find, you know, Bedouin, camel jockey kind of people, you know? But there's absolutely not one place in the whole world, where you will find only white people in hundreds of miles in any direction. What about Russia? Russia's got muds. Russia's got these Asian fuckers in their society, too. They got these Arabic-looking people from Turkmenistan and Uzbekistan. Iceland? Iceland's got muds in it now. I heard they got, you know, what, about 300 blacks in Iceland now. The capital, Reykjavik's only got 350,000 people. There's muds in Reykjavik. The system's making sure there's muds everywhere. So we need to win our battles in our own area. But, you know, we should care about what's going on in other parts of the world. You know, think about that. There was a time when we weren't divided by these ethnicities. We were all sharing the same caves, hunting the same animals. And we got more populous, and then we spread out, started talking different, dressing different, and all of a sudden we're different? No, we're the same. Okay? I heard a line on TV the other night that says, to enhance the idea of terror, the aspect of the unknown must be exploited. And that's you, ghost wolves. You know? We don't know how many of you there are. I sure hope there are, you know, at least a handful of you out there. You know, you listen to these shows, you go to no meetings, you have no tattoos, you don't have any portraits of anyone from the Third Reich in your house, you're not wearing t-shirts that, you know, have Rudolf Hess on the back of it, I regret nothing. Hey, that's great, you know, but you're wearing your ideology on your sleeve, and the political atmosphere that's in America and the West today, you're just marking yourself. You're basically holding up a flag saying, all right, when you guys come to police up people in the middle of the night, here I am, here's where I live. I hope you guys are swimming in the sea of the people. All right, a way to check an associate to see if he's fake. Think about this. Every one of you listening out there, think, you're going to meet someone, a possible comrade. He's not a stranger. It could be used for a stranger. Do this. Or run it through your mind. See what you think of it. You're going to meet someone. You're going to meet him at a park or whatever. Have an associate that you know and trust shadow you. You can't see him, but he can see you. The guy you're going to meet can't see your associate, but he can see him. And he's going to observe the whole thing with binoculars, from a cover concealed position, from a position of nonchalance. You're standing in the middle of a parking lot, you know, with binoculars on your eyes, looking at something that's maybe 500 feet away. That's going to attract attention. When you watch your buddy, you guys that are shadowing your comrade, you got to do it in a nonchalant way that does not attract attention. So what you want to do, you meet the person and check him out, see what he's about. Before you can trust him, you got to test him. He's got to do works of the hands in order to win your approval. He can't just say the right thing. You got to see him do something dastardly. Okay? So you meet this guy, your comrade is shattering you from a disclosed position. When he's done meeting, when you're done meeting with this guy, and this other guy, this unknown factor here, starts walking away, your comrade that shadowed your whole meeting, he's going to follow him as much as he can. And what he's going to look for, he's going to see if he's giving, if he's going to get on a phone right away. Does he go to a payphone right away? Does he get on a cell phone right after the meeting? If he does, that dude is suspect of either becoming an agent provocateur, an informer, an infiltrator. I would be very leery of someone like that. Okay? I was thinking about this the other day because I was watching a crime show. Maybe the way to test someone is to misinform them on something. You're testing this guy. Say, hey, we're gonna go take down a bank and this and that. We got some equipment right here in these bags, man. Don't ever open up the bags for them. The only thing, what you got in the bags is not dynamite or guns or nothing. You got telephone books in the bags, you know. Tell them we're gonna do a serious lone wolf thing, man. We got shit that's gonna go boom in the night or whatever. Set it up. Meet the guy. Have these bags with the fake material in there, and see if you guys get taken down. And once you guys get taken down, well, they ain't got nothing on you because all you got in the bags is telephone books or whatever or something that looked heavy, but it wasn't anything threatening. And the guy that set you guys up now, he's got to go into witness protection over nothing. He didn't take anyone down. Now the fucking rest of his life is ruined or changed drastically. Okay. Another thing you can do. You're checking someone out. Have them, if you don't have a covert house, if it's okay for him to come to someone's house, have the guy show up by himself. Don't let any one of your comrades pick him up. Have him show up on his own, in his own car. And you're there with this new guy that you don't know if you trust, and with your trusted comrades, you know? Okay. Make sure that everyone else is busy doing something. And this guy that you don't trust, send him to the store for something. Send him and say, hey, dude, we're really busy right now. We got to do some things here. Help us out here. Go to White Castle's and get a bundle of, get like 30 sliders for us. You got a comrade outside waiting for him to go to the store or go run the errand that you're sending him on, and your comrade is going to follow this guy and watch him. If he stops at a payphone, if he activates his cell phone right away, I would be suspect. Okay? That'd be a way to check out some people. All right? You know, I hope we see... Well, I can't be a part. I cannot call myself a lone wolf anymore. I can't call myself a ghost wolf. But I assure you that I'm just not feeding you fluff here. You know, I guess the best thing the system did for me is let me stay in the Army for 11 and a half years and become this tactical thinker, you know. When I was a PFC in the Army, I was so into the Army. I fucking eat bread and shit the Army. I mean, I was all about the Army. I was one of the most motivated soldiers that most people have ever met. So when I was in my off time, I was reading manuals, military leadership, military tactics. You know, I was reading FM 7-8. If you guys can get a hold of that military manual, it is awesome. It goes into patrolling, you know, raid, recon, ambush, how to set up a patrol base, all that stuff. FM 7-8. If you got to make friends with someone in the ROTC program in a college, you know, maybe wander through an ROTC building, use the five-finger discount, whatever, I don't know. Get a hold of that manual, FM 7-8. It is awesome when it comes to this type of stuff. But we need to see ourselves, you guys need to see yourselves as circles of wolves. Okay? And I think I'm putting out pretty good stuff here, seeing as how I'm not sitting in prison right now. So, and I know you guys got good stuff out there, but you guys, the ghost wolves, you're a circle of wolves. And your laws supersede those laws of the outside world. The laws of the outside world are written by our racial enemies. The laws of the outside world are written by those who want to keep us in a box, mentally, paying our taxes, going to work on time, consume, consume, consume. While they bleed us dry, while they fleece all of us over and over again. We went through this economic crisis. People were losing. So all of a sudden, oil starts going down. Well, how convenient. You see, they want to bleed us. They don't want to kill us. They just want to bleed us like we're cattle to them. I mean, I guess it's true. We really are goyim. We're just, you know, we're just a source of food for them, so to speak. Not literally, but figuratively. So, you ghost wolves, I hope you're listening. You circle of wolves. Our enemy are a circle of tyrants, you know? Circle of the Tyrants, a cool Celtic Frost song. And that's our enemy. They write the laws to contain us. They don't write the laws because of some benevolence towards humanity or whatever. That's bullshit. These laws that are put in place are there to put us in chains, especially mentally. But our race is losing everywhere. Everywhere. We are being invaded by shit skins everywhere. You know, I don't really like to quote Kevin Alfred Strom because of what he did. I mean, I'm pretty disgusted with the guy, if it's true, what he did. But he closed out American Dissident Voices show one time when he said, you know, our mission makes us the only, talking about white people, makes us the only adults in a world full of children. You want to see what the world, you want to see the normalcy, you'll see everyday life. Watch Maury Povich one afternoon. You know, he's on WGN in Chicago. I don't know what he's on in the other cities, but, I mean, he's based out of New York, and he gives these 15 minutes of fame to some of the most stupid, I mean, stupid with a capital S, niggers you have ever seen, and the way they act, and the way they talk and communicate, and they think they're cool. They like the way they look on TV, and they get reinforced by their black audiences. When you watch that show and there's a bleep, 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 like every 3 seconds because people in the audience and on stage are cursing. I mean, that's the future. America's going to become a freaking jungle. And every so often, Asians and Arabs will come to the North America, like the New Africa, to enslave, to make some slaves and bring them back to China and Saudi Arabia to do some manual labor. I mean, Jesus Christ. I mean, see what's happening here. Watch that show just one afternoon. That's the future of America. That's what you're fighting against. You have the moral high ground. We must secure the existence of our people and a future for white children. And you have to. If you haven't done so by now, if I can starve the sheep and feed the wolf, I mean, I'm an unimpressive guy. I'm not good looking. I'm not muscular. I don't have this fine athletic body. Pretty regular, man. On a scale from 1 to 10 physically, maybe I'm a 5. Maybe a 6. No, I'm a 5. I'll be honest. I mean, there's nothing impressive about me. I wasn't the bravest person. I was very cowardly for most of my life. But if I can get to this point where I have starved the sheep in me is malnourished, he's freaking laying on the ground, he's dying, you can see all his ribs, but my wolf that's in me is well fed, he's fat, he's muscular, and he's growling continuously, okay? You got to be the same way. Let's complete the circle of wolves, get more ghost wolves on tap here. Because we got our work cut out for us. But, you know, how do you eat an elephant? Not to get overwhelmed here. You know, we're behind enemy lines. All our institutions are against us. But how do you eat an elephant? You eat them one bite at a time. It may take you 18 months to eat an elephant, but you can do it. This is a marathon. This isn't a sprint. I think I've heard Metzger use that terminology before. So, man, if you're not busy, you're wrong. And you've got to be seeking improvement in all areas. All areas. You've got to. Don't ever rest on your laurels. Well, you know, I trained the other day. I did pretty good. I can take a month off. Bullshit. You need to be sprinting. Don't go on long runs. Long runs are bad for your joints. The best thing you can do is do wind sprints at least four times a week. Find a football field, sprint to 50 yards. You're pretty good at 50 yards? Sprint that 100 yards. Jog back. Sprint it again. Jog back. Sprint it. It's three times. Three times, four times a week. That is great. I mean, that will increase your wind. Plus, you're doing body weight exercises. I'm not a fan of weights because weights ruin your joints. Weights give you big muscles, which require more oxygen, which tires you out. Okay? You're seeking the best knowledge you can get in physical fitness, hand-to-hand combat, weapons training, firearms, blades and sticks, empty hand techniques. Come on, you know, no more just sitting on the couch watching Captain Kangaroos and smoking cigarettes, okay? Stop. It's time for us to take the bull by the horns. And whatever is your weakness, you need to overcome that weakness. And if you meet someone who has a weakness, have nothing to do with them. You can use them for information, use them for resources, but don't ever trust them. Okay? What makes you guys powerful is you're an army of one, all of you. You're disconnected, but that's your power. Nobody knows who you are. Nobody can say, hey, he's about this and he's that. Hey, you're a tolerant guy. You got various tolerance type of things in your workplace. Nobody suspects anything of you. You're powerful. So use that disruptive power. Carpe noctem. Yeah.